Let's get started. Says the Mishnah, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph in Sukkah. Sukkah HaMedivleles. See what that means. V'shetzilasam rubu machmaso. And a sukkah with its cell is more, the shade is more than the sunlight that it lets in. The shaded area is more than the sunlight. Kishera, it's kosher. And a sukkah that is so schacht, so thick, that the stars cannot be seen from inside the sukkah, it's kosher. What is sukkah hamiduv leles? Amar Rav, sukkah aniya. Says Rav, it's a poorly schacht sukkah. There's a lot of spaces in between the pieces of schach. There's a lot of airspace. Still, we're saying it's kosher. Ushmul amar kana ola v'kana yared. And Shmuel says, sukkah hamiduv leles is kana ola kana yared. I.e., there's a piece of schach, say it's a board, say it's a reed, and then next to that, in the corresponding next piece of schach, that's placed above it. Then you have another piece, as I'm displaying with my hands here. Another piece. So every other piece of schach is placed significantly above the pieces that are next to it, in a manner that if you were to connect them, it would be an up and down zigzag. That's kana ola v'kana yared. That's sukkah hamiduv leles. That's what that means, says Shmuel. Kana ola v'kana yared. One piece put below, one above, one below, one above, one below. In a way that were you to connect it, it would be an up and down zigzag. Rav tani chado, Shmuel tani tarte. So by Rav, the Mishnah is teaching one halacha, and by Shmuel, that first part of the Mishnah is teaching two halachas. Rav tani chado, Rav's teaching one halacha, sukkah miduv leles. My miduv leles, midul deles. What is miduv leles? It means midul deles, maloshin dal, maloshin an impoverished person. It's poorly schacht. Shetzilasam rubam achmasa kashera. I.e., there's a lot of airspace, and we're coming to tell you the halacha that slasam rubam achmasa, even if there's a lot of holes, there's a lot of gaps, but as long as you have rove cell, you have more shade than sunlight, the sukkah is kosher. And we'll go into that halacha in a little bit. And by Rav, that's the whole teaching of that first part of the Mishnah. Ushmul tani tarte, Shmuel says the Mishnah is teaching two halachas. And miduv leles is its own halacha. My miduv leles, mivul veles. What is miduv leles? It's mivul veles. It's a convoluted sukkah. It's not consistent. It's inconsistent. Kana olav, kana yared. Vitarte ketani, and there are two halachas being taught. Sukkah mivul veles kashera, that's number one. Such a sukkah is kosher. And then the Mishnah teaches me a second halacha, that vitzilas merubah machmas kashera, a sukkah which the sunlight of it is greater than its shade, is a kosher sukkah. Okay. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, lo shonu, elo she'ein bein zel lezeh shlosh tefachim, aval yesh bein zel lezeh gimel tefachim pasula. We're going to now go into the halacha of Shmuel, Shmuel's understanding of sukkah miduv leles. That's going to be the most of our discussion on this daf. Says Abaye, when do we say that kana olav, kana yared, were you to connect it in an up and down zigzag, would be kosher? That's only where you have lovet. You have less than three tefachim between the lower beam and the higher beam, which is next to it. I.e., in a way that you can connect the zigzag through lovet. But if there's a greater than a three tefachim distance between the two beams, that diagonal, then you can't connect it, and it wouldn't be kosher. So Shmuel's halacha that sukkah miduv leles is kosher is only where there's less than three tefachim between the lower beam and the upper beams. Amar Rava, says Rava, afilu yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosh tefachim nami lo amar nala she'en begago tefach. Says Rava that were you to have the slits of schach, if each one is a tefach wide, then even if the upper beams and the lower beams are of a distance of greater than 3 tefachim, one from the other, we would still say the sukkah is kosher, because there's a halacha of chavut rami. Avayesh begagot tefach, kesheira deyamrinan, chavut rami. If it has in its roof a tefach, if the upper beams are a tefach wide, we will say chavut rami, literally throw it down. Chavut rami works like this. We say that once it's a tefach wide, it's an ol, it's a covering, like we find by tuma, that in order to be a roof for tuma, to contain the tuma, to consider it a covering of an area, it must be a tefach wide. So to hear, once we say that this upper beam is a tefach wide, it's called a covering for the area below it. And just like it covers that area below it, we'll see the actual roof as extending below. Similar, says Rashi, to the rule of Gudachis. If you have a wall of 10 tefachim and it's suspended, we will see that wall. Once you have a wall, we will see the wall as extending below. So through here, once you have a roof, if it's a tefach wide, constitutes a covering, constitutes a roof, it will be considered to be extending, we'll view it as extending below to the area that it covers, thus connecting the roof below. No matter how far apart they are. That's a halacha of chavut rami. Throw it down. It works like gudachis, says Rashi. But when we're talking on a horizontal roof, we say chavut rami. When we're talking on extending a wall, we call it gudachis. These are all perspective issues. Again, we already discussed this. You'll view it as connected to the area below, i.e. the area that it covers. Okay, and that's how we'll connect the roof. We'll still view the roof as connected. It'll be one roof, even if there's more than 3 tefachim or 3 tefachim between the upper and lower slits of schach. Amar Rava, mana amina lo tekiyas lepei tefach aminin chavit rami v'chileis pei tefach lo aminin chavit rami. Says Rava, where do I see that you need a tefach width to say chavit rami? And if it doesn't have a tefach, we would not say this halacha of chavit rami, right? If it's less than a tefach, if the boards are less than a tefach wide, seemingly Rashi says that we're talking only about the upper boards, but the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Ran that all boards of the sukkah need to be a tefach, even the lower boards, in order to say chavit rami. That's mashmaos in the Mishnah Berurah. Where do I know that only if it has a tevach width will we say the salach of chavit rami did not? Because we learn in the Mishnah in Oyalis. Again, Mishnah in Oyalis are talking about tumas mace. That's what we're talking about in general. And what is an oel to be an oel over tumas mace? So the case is here like this. Kuros did not. Kuros abayas v'ha'aliyah. She'en aleyah meziva. You have a house, and you have an attic above the house. You haven't yet set up the roof for the house or for the attic, i.e. the roof of the home. However, first floor, second floor. However, you have set up support beams, kuros. So what you have is between these support beams is a gap. They don't cover the whole area. These are support beams on which to then rest the beams that will constitute the roof, or a layer of cement and then beams, however you want to do it. So all we have is support beams of the first level for the roof, one beam, space, next beam, space, next beam, space. And for the upper level of the roof, one beam, space, next beam, space, next beam, space. V'hein mechuvonus, if the lower and upper support beams are together, they correspond, they're opposite one another, i.e., you have upper and lower covering the same area, then space, then upper and lower, then space, then upper and lower, then space. They're mechuvanis. They're opposite one another. Then, if you have tumah below one of the lower beams, the lower beam will be an ol to block that tumah. Again, we're talking where it's a tefach wide. It will be an ol to block that tumah. But above it, obviously, since it's an ol, it's a roof, it's a covering to block the tuma, anything above it would not become tame. It would contain that tuma and spread it throughout that beam, that lower beam. Were the tuma, say a kezias of a mace, were to be on top of the lower beam, so then it would be matame, the area of the upper kaira, because that would be its roof. But anything on top of the upper kara would be tahor, because it's being contained by the roof, i.e. the upper kara, the upper beam. Al-kebehel yoyna kinegda al-rikiyatame. And were the kezias min amase, this kezias of a dead person, on top of the upper beam, then there's nothing to block it. So it's ola up until shemayim. Hayuhel yoynes kebena tachtonos. Let's move those upper beams and say the case is where you have a lower beam, space, lower beam, space, lower beam, space. And the upper beams are opposite and exactly the same amount as the space between the lower beams. In a way that were they to be next to each other, it would be like mamish side by side, mamish together. So they're corresponding, i.e. our case of kana yared, as we have in our Mishnah by Shmuel. Mivulvelas, as we've described it. So if that's the relationship between the two levels of support beams, that they're kebein hatachtonos, they're the same amount as the gap and corresponding to the gap between the lower support beams, tuma tachtean, if there's tuma under any of the beams, tachas kulan tame, then the entire area of that house becomes tame. Why? Because we say chavut rami. We say we view it as being one solid roof. And therefore, when you have one solid roof and there's no spaces, it's one solid roof, that whole area underneath that roof is tame, because it's one solid roof. That's the covering. That's the roof of that tuma. So it spreads throughout the entire home. So that's an application of Chavit Rami in that Mishnah in Oilus. Agabeyan, connected to Nalarikiyatame. If there's any tuma on top of any of the beams, it would go up till Shemayim, because there's nothing above it to block it. Okay. V'tani Ola, and it was taught on this Mishnah, when do we say Chavut Rami, to view it as one home, that were there to be Tumah under any of these beams, then in the last case, the entire home would become Tame. That's only where the beams are a Tefach wide, the lower beams are a Tefach wide, and the space between them is a tefach wide. And remember, we're talking the upper beams are exactly the same amount and corresponding to the space of the lower beams. So let's finish this statement. And the upper beams are thus a tefach wide. Okay. Then we'll say Chavit Rami. Aval ein beinayim poseach tefach. But if the space between the lower beams is less than a tefach, and let's finish the statement, the upper beams are less than a tefach, because we've mentioned the upper beams are kebein hatachtonos, they are of the same width as the space between the tachtonos, then then, if there's tumah underneath one of the lower beams, which is a tefach wide, it would only be tameh underneath that beam, because we're not going to make it one solid roof. It has airspace on both sides. That's your covering to the side or on top of that beam would be tahor. Okay. Alma ki is betavach min chavut rami v'chalei is betavach min chavut rami shmamina. Therefore, we see that when it has a tefach width and it's a covering, it's an oil, then we'll say chavut rami. But if it's less than a tefach, we don't say chavut rami. Okay. It's only if it has that tefach, if it's a covering, will I sense its presence till the whole area below that beam, and thus view it as being extending, in a sense, to the area below it. The Gemara asks on this principle. We say Yosef Rav Kahana v'Kamal Hashmaisa. Rav Kahana was sitting and he said over this statement of Rava. Amar le Rav Oshi le Rav Kahana. Rav Oshi says to Rav Kahana, "V'kol hecha the leis be tefach lor minan chavit rami." So we won't say chavit rami unless it's a tefach wide. Unless the board above is a tefach wide. V'hotanya, and he brings a question. He brings a brisa that seems to imply that you would say Chavit Rami even if it's less than a tefach wide. Now don't get confused, because we're going to go through a couple cases before we get to that in this brisa. It's a long brisa. I'm going to give a little bit of akdama. We're going to be talking about a mavui. That's the discussion here. A mavui, again, is a driveway going into a public domain, which is enclosed on three sides. The Rabbanan required, just to give everyone a background, the Rabbanan required that you make an indication of a separation between the Mavui and the public domain at the entrance of the Mavoi. That could be done either using a lechi, which is a vertical pole in the entrance, or a kaira, a beam stretching across the entire length of the Mavoi on top of the walls. That kaira would need to be placed with above 10 tefachim or above, right? And it can't be placed above 20 amos. That's how high that kaira would be off the ground. We need to be off the ground. That's going to come up in this discussion. The length of the kaira, the Mishnah Nirvan says, must be a tefach. And the expression of the requirement of its being a tefach is that the kaira must be able to hold a brick which is 3 tefachim long and a tefach and a half wide. We say if this beam is a tefach wide, then you could position this brick, which is a tefach and a half wide, on the kara, and it would be able to hold it. It wouldn't fall over. You could solidify and patch up the ends to make sure that it would stay in its place. And the idea being there is that we're trying to show you the beginning of a wall. That's one idea. We're trying to make it easy. We're trying to show you the beginning of a wall on the fourth side to say this is a separation. So if it's able to hold a brick, we could consider this to be the first beam of that wall, the beginning of that wall, to show the separation. That's the idea. And we're going to say, because this idea of holding the brick, this brick is called an ariach. It's able to hold an ariach. This brick we just described, of 3 tefachim, 1.5 tefachim. I'm just throwing it in now. I'm not going to expect you to remember that in 5 seconds, but you've already heard it. And as we go through, it'll be easier. Okay, let's see. V'hatanya, what do you mean we don't say Chavit Rami unless it's a tefach wide? We learn in the Brisa, a kaira hayotze mekoisel zeh and gas bekoisel zeh. A kaira that comes off of one wall. It's resting on one of the walls, but it doesn't reach the other wall. It has to reach the other wall, and it doesn't. V'einenu gas bekoisel zeh. V'kein shtei karos achas yotze mekoisel zeh v'achas yotze mekoisel zeh. V'einenu gas ubezu. Or two karos, you have two beams. You made this beam out of two parts. And one's resting on one wall on the side, and the other is resting on the other wall. Again, there's two walls that, you know, on the sides of the driveway. One is resting on one is resting on the other, and in the middle they don't meet. They're not touching. We need this to be one smooth beam, and there's a gap. Pachus mishlosha eino tzarech labikar acheres. If the gap between the two kuros, the two beams, or between, in the first case, the one beam and the wall, and the other wall, is less than 3 tefachim, we'll say loved. We'll view it as being enclosed. We'll view it as following through. And we'll say there's no gap. And it would be fine. Ain't tzarech lahavi kara acheres. You wouldn't have to do anything else. You wouldn't have to bring another beam to fix it. Shlosha tzarech lahavi kara acheres. But if there is a space of 3, then there's a gap, and you would need to fix it. You need to get another kara and add to it. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's shita in general is that loved, we've been talking loved as 3 tefachim, less than 3 tefachim, we say loved. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds that loved is less than 4 tefachim. That really came up in Erev and more. That's his shita. So Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, lemer, pachis me arba, in a tzarech labikara acheres, arba tzarech labikara acheres. Less than 4 would be okay, and we'll still say loved and close the gap. But 4, that's the issue. Okay. V'kein shtei keros hamatimis. We mentioned that in order to hold an ariach by its width, that brick that's 3 tefachim long, 1.5 tefachim wide, we need the beam to be a tefach wide. So here's what you have. You have two beams, two little beams, two thin beams. Neither one is a tefach wide, but together, they, if you put them together, it would be a tefach. So with this one can't be makabel and ariach. You have two karos hamatimos, two karos that are the same amount and they're next to each other. Lo bazuki de lakabel ariach, lo bazuki de lakabel ariach. This one isn't a tefach wide by itself and it wouldn't be able to hold the ariach, this brick. Lo bazuki de lakabel ariach. And this one's not a tefach wide by itself and it would not be able to hold the brick. Imakablis ariach lerachbo tefach enetorech lahavi karacheres. If together, however, they would be able together to hold the ariach, i.e., they are a tefach wide, then it's okay. That works. You don't have to fix anything. The imlov, but if together they're not a tefach wide, combined, next to each other, then you do have to fix. It doesn't work. Tzarech lavi karacheres. You have to bring another kara in and fix this. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, im akablis ariach l'arko shlosha tefachim, Ain't tzarech lahavi kara acheres. Says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he's more makel. He says, even if you put these two together, they're not going to be a tefach wide. This is less than a tefach, that one's less than a tefach. Together, even next to each other, they're not a tefach, combined. But if you were to put them, if you were to turn the brick by its length of three tefachim, and then separate these two beams in a way that they would be able to hold this brick of three tefachim separately, and they're strong enough to hold the brick, he says, this is a kula, he says, therefore, we will consider it to be a kaira. That's called a kaira. That's a big chiddush, big kula. I don't know if he holds it would be kosher while they're actually separate at that distance, that you would be able to hold a brick of three, i.e. less than three tefachim with next to each other, or he holds they have to be together. But were they to be able to hold the brick by its length, we to turn the brick to its length, which is three tefachim wide, I mean, sorry, three tefachim long, and they would be able to hold it, then they would be, it would be kosher, but they would have to be together. So by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, do they have to be together or not? I don't know. Okay. That's a cool of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They don't need to be, bottom line, they don't need to be a tefach combined. As long as we did turn the brick to its length and separate them the way that they could hold it, they would be strong enough to hold it. And it would be kosher. If, however, they are not able to do that, v'im lav tzarech lavi kara achers, you have to bring another kara, it wouldn't work. Now let's take these two beams. Let's go into Tanakama. Combine their tefach right next to each other. Let's put one above and one below. They're not next to each other. They are, as far as the area, next to each other, but one is below and one is placed higher above. We to put it, bring it down, it would be next to each other, but it's not. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rona, Leona, Kilu, V'lamata, V'sa, Tachtona, Kilu, V'lamayla. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says, we see the upper one as being below and the lower one as being above. Sounds like Chavit Rami to me. We'll put them together. However, both of these beams, he adds, have to be within the kosher area of Kaira. They have to be above 10 tefachim or below 20 amos. Then we'll say, okay, we can put them together. If one is outside of the kosher dimensions of a Kaira, then we're not going to say that. Bovad, provided that the upper one is not above 20 amos and the lower one is not below 10 tefachim. But if both are in the same area, are within 20 amos, Amrina and Chavit Rami, we'll say Chavit Rami, afagav teleis betefach. We see, says the Gemara, this is not, that's the end of the Brice already. We see, but if they were to both to be within 20 amos, both were to be within the kosher dimensions of the Kaira, Amrinan Chavut Rami, we would say Chavut Rami Avagav Teleis Betefach, even though these, neither of these beams have a Tefach by themselves. We'll still say Chavut Rami, put them together so that they're next to each other, and then combined they'll be a Tefach. So we should see that we say Chavit Rami even where the width of the beams, the width of the covering, is not a tefach. That's what the Gemara wants to take out of that statement of Rabbi Yosi. Amar Lei, Rav Kahana says back to Rav Ashi, I hear what you're saying, but really what that brisa means is like this. Ubavach lo tehel yon el malam esrim, it's two cases. Ubavach lo tehel yon el malam esrim, ela betoch esrim, v'tachtoina smuch lo bepochus mishloisha. What he means is two cases. Either he means the top one cannot be above 20, it has to be below 20. And then if the lower one is within three tefachim of the upper one, it'll be kosher. Inami or bilvachla tehetachtoina lamata meyasara. Or as long as the lower one is not below 10 tefachim, it's above 10 tefachim off the ground, elamayla meyasara, velayonis muchala, and the top one is close to it, bepochus meshlosha, at less than three tefachim. Then we'll say it's kosher. That's that statement. Royan ki'ilu hi lamayla and ki'ilu hi lamata means, see that the upper one is below and the lower one is above. Those are two separate cases or whatever, but both are talking where it's less than three tefachim. That's the point. Fine. So, good. Aval shlosha came into leis be tefach lo amrinan chavit rami. But were there to be a space of three tefachim between them, i.e. you would not have loved, then we don't say chavit rami because you don't have a tefach width to either of these beams. And you would need to have a tefach width to both, seemingly by the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Let's talk for a second real quick. What if you have a space of a tefach? We need a space of a tefach between the lower beams in the rule of Havat Rami. So far, we've just discussed Shmuel's opinion. Fine. What if you have a space of a tefach, but the upper beam is more than a tefach? So if you're not really being able to lower the upper beam, but it just covers that area of the tefach, would you say Chavat Rami or not? That's a machlokes. The Machaber holds that you would not. The Ramah holds that you would say Chavat Rami. It's not clear what you would do. What if the space below is, say, a tefach 1.5 tefachim, 1.5, and the upper beam is a tefach only? Therefore, if it were to come in, it would not totally close the area. It would cover most of the area. It would certainly help, but it's not going to enclose the area. What do we say? So there, the Kesef Mishnah says in the Rambam that we would not say Chavat Rami. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik also learned we would not say Chavat Rami in that case. If it's not going to totally enclose the area, we don't say Chavat Rami. The space is bigger than the beam, even though the beam's a tefach. The Kaf Chaim also says this B'Shem Lavush. However, the Shulchan Aruch Harav paskins that we do say Chavat Rami in that case. So Lamaisa, I don't know. Okay, just to throw that around. Okay. Now, let's get back. That was the case of Sukkah Medivleles, which by Shmuel is a halacha of Kana Ola Kana Yared, the zigzagged Sukkah. We need to connect it. But by Rav, the whole halacha of our Mishnah, of that first part of the Mishnah, was Tzlosa Meruba Machmasik Asheira. We're talking about a Sukkah Aniyah, a Sukkah that wasn't real schacht. As long as it's Tzlosa Meruba Machmas, it's Kasher by Shmuel, certainly that's the second part of our Mishnah. So let's get into that halach a little bit. If the tzel of the sukkah, the shade of the sukkah is more than its sunlight, it would be kosher. So we're madaik. You need more shade than sunlight. Hokiyadadi, but were it to be equal, it would be puzzle. That statement would imply. If it's more shaded than sunlit, it would be kosher, but were it to be equal, it would be puzzle. Vahotnan. Let's look at the first Mishnah of the Masechta. V'shechamasa meruba metzilasa pasula, the Mishnah said, that if it's more sunlit than shaded, it would be pasul. Hokiyadadi kashera. But were it to be equal, were it to be the same, that would imply that it would be kosher. Because we said it's only if it's more sunlit than shaded, it's a problem. But were it to be equal, it would be kosher. So what's going on? We want to know, what if it's equally sunlit as it is shaded? What's the halacha? We have conflicting implications. Lo kashya. See, it's not kashya. Kan milamayla, kan milamata. Our Mishnah, the deacon, our Mishnah, to say if it's equal, it's puzzle. That's talking where above the schach to the airspace is equal. Because if the schach and the airspace are equal above, light spreads. And on the bottom, you'll certainly have more sunlight than shade at tentafachim below the schach. We're not necessarily talking about the floor of the sukkah. We're talking tentafachim, below the schach, which is the minimum amount and function of the schach. Okay. So if it's equal above, then below it's going to be more sunlit than shaded because light spreads. That's where we say that equal, if it were to be equal, it wouldn't be good. And our Mishnah is talking about the schach and airspace above. You need it to be more shaded, i.e. more schach, than open. Tan milamata. And the Mishnah there, where it says it can't be more sunlit than shaded, but were it to be equal, it would be kosher. That's talking below at the actual shade and sunlight below. That there, were it to be equal, it would be kosher. It's only if it's more sunlit than shaded below the actual sunlight and shade. There's more sunlight than shade. That's a problem. But were it to be an equal amount of sunlight and shade at the bottom of the sukkah, at tentafachim below the schach, that would imply that above you have more schach than airspace. Because again, light spreads. So to have it equal below at the actual shade and sunlight would imply that you have above more schach than airspace. So at the end of the day, what do we need? We need more schach than airspace above. And at the bottom, when we're actually talking about the shade provided in the sunlight in the sukkah, at tentafachim below the schach, there it can be equal. That's what comes out, and that's what we paskin lahalacha. Amar Rav, Papa, Hainu Damar, Inshe, Kezuzah Mila'el, Keister Mila'tachas. This is what people say, that a Zuzah Mila'el, that a little hole, that's a Zuz, a small coin above, will look like a big coin below, because light spreads. Let's say the light spreads. That's what they say. You'll see a sunlight on the bottom the size of an isthra. Okay. 6:30, we have a few minutes. I want to explain this halacha. You know what? We're going to come back and explain this halacha. But the question I'm going to pose right now is, what's the main idea? What do we really need? Which one's the main one? It has to, do we need, is the rule of tzlas meruba machmasa the schach and the airspace, that we need more schach than airspace? Or is the rule of tzlas meruba machmasa the main thing is on the bottom? You need there to be more schach than airspace above to get that equal shade and sunlight below. Remember, the rule is more schach than airspace above, equal amount of sunlight and shade below is okay. So are we dealing with the sunlight and shade, and that's the what we need to get? So in order to get that, you need more schach than airspace above. Or do we need roiv schach above than airspace, more schach than airspace? And an indication of that would be, well, how much shade and sunlight they have on the bottom. That's just the way to get to figure out how much you have above. What's the requirement? Is this a rule in the shear of the schach, or a rule in the bottom of the actual, is it a rule above of the shear of schach that you need more schach than airspace, or a rule in the shade below? You need it there to be a presence of shade, a presence of cell, a presence of shade. That would be sufficient, add an equal amount to the sunlight in the sukkah. I'm going to go into it now because we already are holding by it, and we have time. Don't worry. I'm going to finish. Says Rashi, don't get antsy. We're going to do it. Okay, so says Rashi in the beginning of the Gemara. Turn to the base of the Aleph, first off in the Mishnah. He says v'shechamasim ruba mitzilasa. When he describes the psul, the problem of chamasim ruba mitzilasa, there being more sunlight than shade, he says hamuat bata barov. He says because since it's a minority, it's bata barov. It'll be bata. Like we say, bit the barov. You have a majority and minority. The minority is considered to be negated by the majority. It's like it doesn't exist. V'harehu kamisha eno, and it's like you don't have it. V'al shem aschach kruya sukkah, and it's because of the schach, the fact that it's sochech, it shades, it covers, that the sukkah is called a sukkah. So you don't have a sukkah. Fine. So Rashi says the issue of chamasa meruba mitzilasa, the sukkah being more sunlit than shaded, is because there's a miyit. Is because we say bit the barov, and it's like it's not there. It's a minority. It's like it's not there. It's overwhelmed by the majority presence of what? Of the sunlight. Now, if the issue is the schach above, that we need rov schach, we need the majority of schach, and if there's more sunlight on the bottom than shade, that's an indication that there's not a majority of schach. It might be equal, but there's certainly not a majority of schach in the sukkah. Then Rashi should say the problem is because this indicates that you don't have rov schach, not bittel barov. It's not bittel barov. It could be equal above schach to airspace. It could be equal, and still you have chamasa meruba on the bottom. Still you have more sunlight than shade on the bottom. So you don't get bittel barov. There's no bittel barov. It's not a miyit. It's not a minority. If this is only an indication to what we want to establish as far as the schach, the amount of schach you have, we see in Rashi that the ikar is the tzel. The ikar is the shade itself. That's the halacha, is that there needs to be a presence of shade in the sukkah. And therefore Rashi says, when you have a minority of shade, we say bittel barov, and it's like there's no shade. When it's half and half, there isn't bittel. It's not negated by the sunlight. And therefore we'll say there is a presence of shade. And this corresponds to what we said on Daf Ches, that we said, Hashem aschach kriya sukkah. You can have a pre-existing sukkah that wasn't made for the yontav of sukkahs, but it has to have been made l'shem tzel. It has to have been made for the purpose of shade. Because we need, the ikar of schach is the function that the schach shades. There's a presence of shade. That's how Rashi learned on Daf Ches by sukkahs ganvach. Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos learns this gemara differently a little bit. He says that we say parts ka'omid, we paskin parts ka'omid, a cover, a machitza, a wall that is covered just as much as it is open. Equally, we had this earlier on Daf Tzayin, a wall which is equally as walled as there is open space is kosher. So he says by Rashi, the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, which is the halacha, the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, on top it has to be more schach than shade, because again Rashi is looking at the bottom to get that more. to get that presence of shade. At least you'll have an equal amount of shade of schach. But above it, as far as the amount of schach, he needs rov schach. He needs there to be more schach than airspace above. That's our halacha, according to Rashi. Says Ben Tam, you don't need more schach than airspace. We pask in parts ka'omed is mutter. An equal amount of covering as there is open space in general will be considered to be covered. That would be covered as far as a machitza or as far as a roof. That's a covering. That works. So the Rabbeinu Tam learns it differently. He also learns that Istara is smaller than Azuz, which is a little different than Rashi. He brings a raya. And therefore, he wants to say the following. He says, Kan milamata, kan milamaila, kan milamata. If it looks equal, when you're right by the schach above, you're looking at the schach. The schach, he says, needs to be an equal amount of airspace. It can't be less. That's the way he learns the whole thing here. And he says, if you're looking above at it, then you'll see it's equal. But if you're looking from the bottom, and it looks equal from the bottom, that really means that there's less schach than airspace. It really means there's less schach than airspace. Because if it looks, things when you're looking from something from a distance, it looks smaller than it really is. So if it looks equal when you're looking at it from a distance from the bottom of the sukkah, you're trying to tell, is there on the roof, is there an equal amount of schach as there is airspace? If you're looking from the bottom and it looks equal, then that really means that there's more sunlight than shade. Because the sunlight's obviously going to catch your attention more, and if it looks equal, that really means it's bigger than you would perceive it. So it would mean that there is not an equal amount of schach as there is shade above. But if you're looking at it right above, where you're right there, you get on a ladder, you look up, and it looks equal, then it's kosher. So the whole point of this halacha by Rabbeinu Tam is that the roof have an equal amount of schach as it does airspace. Not like Rashi, you need rov schach. Says the Stipler Gaon, that's the machlokas. The Rabbeinu Tam's learning that the whole point of the halacha of tzlasa meruba machmasa, this whole halacha, there's no requirement of shade in the sukkah. That's not an element of the sukkah. It's all about the schach above. How much schach do I have above? And if I have an equal amount of schach as there is airspace, happens to be that's a sheet because he holds we're doing parts coming here, then it should be equal. That's the rule. Do I have schach? Do I have a presence of schach? Is it a mechitza? Is it a covering? So I'll say parts ka'omed is mutter. Big rule. So he also learns the rule of L'shem Tzel. He holds also in that Gemara Daf Ches, see the Rosh Simen Yabes, he learns that Gemara differently and doesn't hold that a sukkah needs to be made with the purpose of shading. Okay, so it's L'shitasa there. Okay, fine. So that's just a general understanding of what is the halacha of Tzosim Rebbe Machmasa, Stiplegon, Sukkah, Simen Aleph. Let's continue. Mu'ovo Kemin Bias. If the second halacha in the Mishnah, if it's schach, it's so thick that you can't see, it's schach is so thick, it's like the roof of a house that you can't see the stars, right? That's our Mishnah. That if the schach is very thick in a way that you cannot see the stars from the sukkah, it would be kosher. But if you don't see the sparks of sunlight, those you know, you have a roof and you have sunlight, you would view it as like a spark in a sense. Rays, beams of sunlight, sparks of sunlight. If it's so thick that you can't even see the sparks of sunlight through the roof, Beis Shammai holds that it would be possible. Beis Shammai poislin, but Beis Hillel machshirin, and Beis Hillel holds it's kosher. Okay. The halacha here, we're going to read the next Mishnah just to finish the daf officially, but that's really totally, we're going to go into it in the next daf, and the Amid base is small, and there's no chile about finishing tomorrow. So don't worry, but we're going to read it, so we did the daf, okay, fine. But it's actually pretty complicated, so. But the halacha of seeing the stars through the schach, I'm going to talk about that for a second, because I got the clock here, don't worry. So the halacha of seeing the stars through the schach, l'hatchila, you should build a sukkah, seemingly, there's an need to build a sukkah in a way that you can see the stars. However, if you did build it, you can't see the stars, it's kosher. You built it in a way you can't even see the tzutzei chama, the sparks of sunlight, if you were to look up, which is, it must be even more thick. It would also be kosher, the Sharetzi and Paskins, not Paskin Basila, makes sense. However, again, also, if you have any reason not to make the sukkah in a way that you can't see the stars, it's totally kosher. Like, this isn't even a lehatchila, like, you should go out of your way to do it, according to some opinions. They say, okay, there's like an inyan to see the stars, but like if you don't, it's totally fine. And certainly if you have a reason to make it thicker, for example, the wind's blowing a lot and it would really bother you if it's coming through the schach. You want that schach thick. That's fine. You don't even have to consider, oh, I need to see the stars. Fine. However, there is an issue if you make it schacht so much. Now, we mentioned this before when we talk about l'shem tzel. Let me get back to that. How does Rabbeinu Tam learn that the sukkah needs to be made for shade when he holds there isn't a requirement of shade in the sukkah? So the Rabbeinu Tam just learns that statement as meaning, not like Rashi that we've been talking the whole time about. Rabbeinu Tam learns that statement as meaning you cannot make the schach so you should make the schach should be made in a way that it's lighter, it's of a light consistency, of a light thickness, in a way that you would make it for shade, not in a way that it would be so thick to block out rain. That's what he says. So thick to block out rain. Okay. That's what we learned in Gemara. So we paskin that requirement that a person should not make his schach so thick that the rain would not be able to come through if it's that thick. And that would be considered schach puzzle if there's dalad amas by dalad amas of that schach. You could simply fix it. If you did do it, you would simply just cut away at the schach to thin it out. You wouldn't need to then pick it up and put it back down because it's not really schach puzzle totally. It's not so tassel mina usli so much. You would just cut away at the schach and it would be kosher if you did make it that thick. Fine. I'm sorry, it would be possible dalat tefachim by dalat tefachim if you had dalat tefachim by dalat tefachim of schach that's that thick that the rain can't come through in your sukkah, that would be schach puzzle. Like any other schach puzzle. To fix it, cut away at it, you're fine. You don't have to do anything else. Okay, however, in a case where that's all a person has and he can't fix it for whatever reason, then it's brought down that since that's only been Tom's opinion and other Rishonim don't really hold of that requirement, you can't sit in the sukkah, it would be kosher. And there's a discussion, would you make a bracha or not? Okay. This requirement of seeing the stars, the Prima Gadim says, doesn't mean the whole sukkah has to be held in a way that you could see the stars. It could be even just one part of that sukkah, you're able to see the stars, that's already kosher. Just one little part, you could see it. What's the requirement of seeing the stars in the sukkah? See it real quick. More of a shemesh in sukkahs, on his drosh l'sukkahs, sukkah yom rishon, his first piece, says the following. We just came out of a kapara from Yom Kippur. We were separated from the Rabbanu Shalom through our Aveiros. And we just went through a Kapar of Yom Kippur. Mor v'shemesh was the Talmud of Noam HaMelech of Klonimus Kalman Epstein. We just came through our Kapara for our Aveiros. It's like a person coming out of the dark. You shine a bright light at a person who just came out of who was in prison for a year and a half in the dark. You'd blind him. He wouldn't be able to handle it. So too, we say that the Rabbanu Shalom, when he created the world, he doesn't reveal himself to us immediately. He doesn't reveal himself with such a bright light. We're not able to handle that. Life is about going from one step to the next step, to realizing the Rabbanu Shel Olam, be megala the chesed and the tov that exists in the world. Be megala the Rabbanu Shel Olam in the world. So what does he do? He cuts a little bit. He cuts a slit. There's a wall separating. He's in the dark. He cuts a little slit so that the light can shine through. Person gets adjusted, he cuts another slit. Person gets more adjusted, he cuts another slit. And that's life in general, and that's us. Re-relating to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, growing again after we've had that kapara of Yom Kippur. In general, that's how a person goes through life. Clarity. At 15, I had this much clarity. At 16, I had this much clarity. A person grows more and more. Says the Mor v'Shemesh, that's what's representative of Sukkos. That's the antif of Sukkos. The Rabbanu Shel Olam takes us day by day, showing us more and more. We say, Teravodim Gemilas Chesodim, right? To be revealing the Chesed. The Rabbanu Shel Olam is a Tov. He's a Tov, and Derech HaTov LaHeitiv. To do good. Why do bad things happen? Because we aren't roy. We're not fitting to receive that good. We're not directly relating to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. We don't see him directly. So what does he do? He cuts a slit and shows us some light as we go day by day through Sukkos. That's the stars. The stars are the sparks of light shining through the veil, the dark veil of the night sky, to say it a little too dramatically. That's the idea. That's what the stars are. Megala the Chesodim. And that's the idea of seeing the stars. That's what we're doing in Sukkos. Okay. That's the clarity and the simcha of Sukkos. Next Mishnah. No, we'll just read it through. Ha'osu sukkas barosha galo, because we're not going to explain it. It's too complicated. Ha'osu sukkas barosha galo, when he makes a sukkah on top of a wagon, o barosha svino on top of a ship, kesheira, it's kasher, v'olon labi yomtev, we have a minute anyway, and you can go up onto it, on yomtev. That's an issue. We'll talk about that next time of gezeiras, of that you can't go on certain things on yomtev. If you made the sukkah on top of a tree, a treehouse sukkah, or you made it on top of an animal, for example, a camel, kashera, it would be kosher, but you wouldn't be able to go up to it on yontif. You're already up there. But you can't go up on Yontif. Shtayim be'ilan, we'll see. Shtayim be'ilan v'achas b'de'adam. I shouldn't say that. Shtayim be'ilan v'achas b'de'adam. Shtayim b'de'adam v'achas be'ilan. If you have two, say, so here we're talking about the sukkah is totally supported by the tree, right? It's totally on the tree. What if you have the tree being used as some of your walls are the tree, and then you made a third wall that's on the ground? Right, shtayim be'ilan v'achas b'de'adam, or shtayim be'de'adam v'achas b'ilan, are two walls on the ground, and one side of the sukkah is being supported on the tree is from the tree. Kasheru b'kasher v'nolan labiyamtiv, but you wouldn't be able to go up to an onyantiv. Sholosh be'de'adam v'achas b'ilan kasheru v'olan labiyamtiv. If three walls of the sukkah are made by are not relying on the tree, and the fourth wall is relying on the tree, then you could go up to it on Yantif. The sukkah can stay by itself. You take away the tree, beef neyatzma kashera, right? You can stay by itself. It's kosher. But you can go up to it on Yantif. And I know that didn't make any sense, but we already heard the words, and hopefully tomorrow it'll.